Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, family. Good evening. All praises to the Most High, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach, and Yahweh Shai. So there's a lot of things that are going on, as they have been for quite some time. You know, I mean, I sit back and I reflect on just 2 years ago. 2 years ago, when we were telling people, hey, don't get caught up in the fear. Don't run and go get the jab. Don't do it. Be patient. Endure, persevere. I know that everybody wants to go back to normal, but there is no more normal based on what scriptures say. So don't do it. But everyone ran out. Lots of people ran out and wanted to get back to normal so they could go run around at the movies and the ballparks and the, you know, the stores and wherever else they wanted to go. Eat, restaurants, whatever. They wanted to go back to normal. Now, 2 years on, there is no normal. And those people are subjected to fear. In the end times, or the times of the tribulation, fear will overtake a lot of men's and women's minds. We've seen this. Now those same people that went out and got the Jabba Jaws 15 times, however many times they got, they still getting sick. They're struggling. They're wanting to figure out how they can get better. But fear trapped them. We've sat here for 2 years and said, hey, there's a lot of things going on. You've got to repent and get yourself right. You've got to start doing things and seeing things differently than you have ever in your entire existence. You said it. I've said it. Many others have said it. Many others that think like me have said it. And what I'm not talking about a color of people, a specific color, has a lot of different variables. It's a lot of moving parts. And now today we see, you know, we had Japan leadership leave. We've got the Queen dead. We've got the American government in shambles and disarray. We've got an impending so-called war. And now we got even more fear. And you got people out here praying and, you know, Jesus, come back. Lord Jesus, come back and save us. You know, Lord Jesus. And they miss the fact that when Christ comes back, he's coming with the sword. He's coming for retribution. He's not coming for the kumbaya, or the peace, or the love that many people seem to believe. See, at this stage in the game, in 2022, it's no more secrets about things. There's not a lot of secrets left. There's major secrets left, but not these small secrets, you know, like who the Negroes are. But the largest secrets are still out there, you know. Who the Israelites? What does the Israelites own? What was their inheritance? What was their culture? What was their lands? Where did they live? See, those are huge secrets. Those are secrets that are soon to come out, but are not yet out. The queen going into her with the king, with the rich man, she is the last, like Big Judah said, she is the last of the 70 shepherds. She is the last of the gatekeepers. She has gone, she has lived through, she lived through all of the calamities of our world, or their world, but our world as well, the separation, the Israelite, the Negro world. She saw and knew of the lynchings that was going on here. She knew of the civil, the inequality in Australia. She knew of the inequality and the barbarity that went on in South Africa. She knew of what was going on in Kingston, in Nigeria. She knew what was going on in what had went on with the Dutch in the Congo. She actually was the signer, one of them, one of the complicitors of the Balfour Treaty, Palestine, given to the Ashkenaz. She has been the glass gatekeeper of all the information that the popes knew, that the church has done. She was the gatekeeper of the jewelry, of the Father, of the Elohim, and the jewelry of Africa, and all the other jewelry from around the world, all the other artifacts from around the world, all the other inheritance of other peoples, in particular Israel. And she's off the board. Now, everybody is running around scrambled. The Pope, he is gone. His work, he has no authority. The Queen is dead. The world, the Gentile world, has no leadership. This is what we see. The leadership is gone. There's no more gatekeeper. Hence why we're going to start to see a lot of these historical hidden information and knowledge come out. And it's going to happen all the way up to, in my opinion, 2024. You know, we're in the Shemitah time, the super Shemitah. Every Shemitah, there's been calamity since 2001. Now we're in the super Shemitah. This is when the land has rest. This is when there is a time of deliverance. Interesting thing is that everybody wants to run around thinking that Jesus is going to save them, not understanding that they need to save themselves. This so-called Jesus is not coming down to the sky and going to say, hey, everyone, I implore you to stop the hate. No. He's setting everybody up for judgment. Yahawashi is. And he's coming back with the sword to judge the nations in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. This is what they keep missing. They run around talking about the red heifer this, the red heifer that. Oh, this is a good time. This is the pure blood. How can, and we know this to be true, how can a cow's blood, how can a cow's blood get purify the deeds of these people? I mean, shoot, if it was just as easy to say, oh, you know what, this red heifer is going to give us the ability to be purified, then shoot, we just spray painted a cow and went out there and cut it open and then put the blood on us, and we'd been freed years ago. Prophecies that they're talking about, you know, this is what they embolden themselves with. This and the fact that they're going to skirt out. I'm out. I'm gonna leave everybody here to pay my cost. This is like, you know, everyone at the dinner table, at the restaurant, everybody eating big. And these people have, you know, they just been eating like kings. And then all of a sudden, it's time to pay. And, you know, they skirt it out. They're like, yo, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go to the bathroom. And you don't ever see them again. This is their idea of justice. This is their idea of repentance. This is their idea of salvation. Salvation can only come to Israel. Why would there be a need for the heathen and the Gentile to have salvation when the heathen and the Gentile is trying to get back to normal in this world? Meaning, they have had their salvation already. They've lived high on the hog. They've had everything. And I know, not all of them, but hey, not my problem. Not my problem. That's where white supremacy comes in, to where even if they couldn't obtain it all, they still had more than others, just on the strength of their color, which is absurd in the first place. But this is where we are. We got Putin talking about he instituting a draft of 300,000, 300 million, whatever the number is, into an army so that they can, you know, add more fear to the Gentile and the heathen. But see, here's my take. This is what the Spirit tells me. He says, son, because by no stretch of the imagination am I going to allow my creation to destroy my creation. They did not create this world, this earth, therefore they cannot destroy it. And all I can think about is, yeah, why would they have the authority to destroy the Creator's creation? Now, they've done a lot of destroying. Did that what he said? If he doesn't come back soon, they'd like him to destroy it all, so therefore they ain't going to destroy it all. Therefore, there is no fear of an atomic weapon. There is no fear of a nuclear war. But see, that's what the Gentiles think, because they only deal with, or rather, they don't want to deal with the destruction. So at the end, in their mind, is there's going to be some great destruction. There's going to be something that's going to happen, and everybody's going to die. Everybody's got to come with us and die. No, no, sir. No, ma'am. No. No, we don't. No, we don't. That's the whole benefit. And see, now you talk about white supremacy, where they benefited and got the features and benefit, you know, of their skin color, making them high, you know, living in a castle on the hill. We now get that same benefit. Now we get the benefit. What's the benefit today of Israel? Well, you may ask, well, the benefit is peace of mind. That's huge. That's massive. Peace of mind. So, you know, where people are sitting here worrying, no faith. They sit here scared. They're sitting over here, got issues with their own sanity, no faith. Everything that they are dealing with adds, compounds the fear that they have, no faith. And we here have peace of mind. We say, you know what, I'm going to live my life for the Father. And what does that look like? That looks like peace of mind. Whilst the Gentiles is running around and the heathen is running, scurrying around, you know, losing their sanity, all up in arms, looking dejected, trifling, we're sitting with light. We're sitting with truth. I mean, you know, we can pray, which we do, and that's the other thing. You know, the Spirit that is now helping Israel again is bringing us the bringing a collective spirit of understanding. So, like, for me, you know, I am tired of dealing in a world of wickedness. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of looking at their stupid TV shows, their stupid movies, listening to their stupid governments, listening to their stupid religions. I'm tired of the lies. Like, for me, I want to experience. I want to feel. I want to understand. I want to know how it is to live in a righteous world. Pushes me on. That's what keeps me going. That, you know what? At some point, it's going to switch. And where we are, whatever existence we're in, however that looks like, it will be a feeling of comfort and righteousness, which then would allow our peace of mind to illuminate and thrive, whilst the rest of the world is pushed into darkness, chaos, destruction, and death. Vibe in a frequency of righteousness. Their vibration can't survive. It'll just die. And that's what we're starting to see. We're starting to see this whole mindset. It's like, it's so funny. I look on social media and, you know, you got all these Christians talking now about Enoch. You got all these Christians talking about, you know, how to pray, and you know, if they can get people to understand Jesus, then they can get salvation. They're talking about prophecy. Listen, these people never talked about that. They've never talked about it. And it makes sense. Why? Because they were living in their heaven now. This has been their heaven. This is their heaven. Their wicked society is based on them having here on earth. Why? Because they were impatient. They were impatient to do the right thing to allow the kingdom to come. So instead, they cheated. They stole. They robbed. They killed. They lied. They raped. And they murdered. To maintain their heaven on earth. And so now their heaven on earth is crumbling. And, you know, I never thought that I would be in a situation ever in my life to where I was going to be able to see the fundamental destruction or the fall of the global world, Western civilization, European, Roman, revived Roman Empire system. That is an amazing thing to me. And that is such good news to me that I get to see it and get to be able to endure it to the end. Now, listen, we ain't won nothing yet. I haven't won nothing yet. We haven't won nothing yet. Things are going to get worse before they get better. You know, it's like the weather today. And this whole week, for 7 days, we're in September, in the end of September, and the weather has just been beautiful. It's been in the 90s. And no, very, very low humidity, which is just fascinating at this time, when normally, yes, it would start to do that maybe in October, you know, middle of October, but it's early. It's early. And I liken that to the quiet before the storm. And we know these people are losing it. Their word choices are wrong. Their ability to, it's interesting, their wit is gone. Their ability to hold a meaningful conversation is gone. ego is ever present. It's wild times, loving times. Loving times for us to love our Elohim. You know, we have sat back for quite some time and endured all this madness. We've done this with a smile on our face at times, and we've done it with a frown on our face at other times. But yet we've done it. We've endured and persevered. So when you look at Scripture and we separate ourselves from the Christian churchianity scriptures and we bring all the scriptures into view, into focus, what we come to understand is that a lot of things have already occurred. Lots of things. Lots of actions, events, and prophecy. There's going to be no next time or, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, you don't hear all this planning that you used to hear. You don't see, oh, Carnival Cruise Lines, you know, next summer let's do this or come to this resort. You don't hear that stuff. You don't hear it because they're all perplexed. They're all scared. So they can't, because they think, as we know, another piece of this puzzle, that, oh, September 24th, there's going to be something, you know, a coronal mass is going to come off the sun. And listen, those that got vitamin D, melanin, again, have peace of mind. Is it this? Esau is in trouble. Esau is in trouble. Ishmael is in trouble. As long as Jacob maintains his distance or her distance from those two, we're going to be just fine. Because that's what Scripture says. We already know the end game. We know they're going to come and they're going to say, you know, after they just got, after a light browbeat, after a light whooping from the Father, they're going to go, oh, my goodness, you know, our fathers have inherited lies and vanity and things that are of no value. They're going to go, oh, my goodness, is this them, these other people? So, see, we already know the end game. We already know what is going to happen. We already understand that this whole connection is about us. That's why he, you know, the our ancestors, our people, our saints are under the altar crying for justice. Been crying for justice. But we were not in the position to cry for justice ourselves. 400 years, we were put into a position to where we could now cry for justice, and they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't come and say, oh, you people don't know what you're talking about. Look, our Pope and look, our Queen, and look, our churches are so sanctified and highly favored. Look at us. Keep looking at us. Don't look at – they couldn't do it anymore. Because the switch was on. And now we sit back and we try to entertain them by attempting to give them insight and illumination. But that's not for us to do. That's not our deal. We're not to give them the light. Only the Father can give them the light. The Father is the only one that gave us the light. So who are we to say we can give someone else the light that we have? That's the 10 virgins. So we will give them our oil? Why would we do that? We won't have any oil. We won't have enough. Because don't get it twisted. Esau will take all your oil and leave you nothing. Because that's what they do. That's what he has done. Ishmael too. But they have gone in and took all the grapes off the vine and left nothing for no one else. That's why this Super Shemitah is so important. It's even more important to them to see who out of them who is going to lead some oil. Because, see, they want our oil. They've always wanted our oil. That's the whole point. They wanted our oil, and, you know, many of us over time gave our oil to them only to realize that we were out of oil. And then they went on through their kingdom, killing, stealing, and destroying with our oil. But now that many of us, even though it's a few of us, but many of the few have elected not to give our oil to them, now everything's changed. All we get to see through the fog that they put up. What is that? The chemtrails. We get to see through that now. We get to see through their comments of foolery of going to the moon nonsense. We get to see through that. We get to understand and see our zodiac. We get to see the stars, the alignments, the planetary alignments. We get to see these things now because we're illuminate with our own oil. And because they ain't got no oil, they can't see it. They just got to be in fear. They're in darkness because why? They have no oil to light their way. The only reason why the heathen and the Gentiles had the oil, like I said earlier, is because we gave it to them. And what did they do? They lit their menorah inside of them and didn't light the way for anybody else. You know, they would light it for their families and their friends. But the people who they got the oil from to light theirs, they never lit it for them. They said that they were nothing. And now, you know, you got them talking about, you know what, we sorry for this. We sorry. You know, Sister Cabrera said that, you know, she was talking about the English church. They coming out talking about they sorry. Listen, sorry is not going to cut it. It's just not. You know, they want to come out and say, oh, you know, black people had slaves. Listen, okay, but that was, I'm sure that there were, because they had to survive too in a time of darkness, the wicked world that we're in. I'm tired of that. Listen, I am so sick and tired of listening to people's woes that I want righteousness. I want to hear glory and joy and peace and love, not this fake love, not this lustful love, not this Gentile love, not this R&B love, not this hip-hop love, not this pop love, not this country love, but I want to hear the Elohim's love. I want to hear the angels' love. I want to see and here are saints' love. This is where I am. And I can tell you that it's funny because all this stuff is happening for a reason. There's no coincidences. Brother Judah came out with the Aurora Borealis and then dropped that we're in a, it's not this, but it's similar, Super Borealis or something to that extent. I mean, this is the Father giving us confirmation every step of the way. Because remember, when we separate ourselves, when we seek him out, he comes to us. See, the Gentiles is trying to get him to come to them. We're trying to go to him. We're seeking him. They think that he should seek them. See, this is why they're going to be forever destroyed, forever going to be in woe. It's going to be like woe, like woe. And they ain't going to have no understanding other than a few of them when they go, hey, are these them people that we had in derision and they talk down to them, they call them names with bywords? These them people? Hey, listen, you know, we're sorry. Our fathers have inherited lies. See, this is what we're about to start seeing. And see, we can acknowledge it, but we don't have to accept it because it's not for us to accept. This is for them to get acceptance from our Father. So they come, hey, will you forgive me? Listen, that's not my task. I'm not here for forgiveness. You're going to have to talk to the Father. My task is to continue to seek. Now, if you want to, you know, pull up your own, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, wink, wink, and follow me or follow the Father or follow this path, breadcrumbs that the Father has given us, then who am I to stop you from that? That's the Father's will. But don't be trying to come saying, hey, you know, so-and-so said, you know, he forgave me, so I'm forgiven. Mm-mm. See, that's how they got us. Oh, Jesus said he forgives all people, so he's forgiven. It's all good. Mm-mm. No, no, no. That's not how this works. This is how it worked for them while they were in their blessing, while they were in their heaven on earth that they made, that they created. Now, again, the Father's not going to let them destroy his creation because he's bringing his kingdom to the earth. So what sense would it make for him to allow them to nuke his entire creation, destroy it, blow it up, when he's coming to reign on his creation and his creation? Why would he do that? It doesn't make sense. We are now at the precipice of the fundamental paradigm shift that we have all been looking forward to. But we're going to have a bunch of our people running around talking about loving Jesus and Jesus forgive him and not think nothing of it. Keep it moving. We're going to have a lot of Gentiles coming over and telling us that we don't really know what we're talking about, that we're perversing the word. Think nothing of it. Because the more that we're in motion, the more that we're in, the more we're moving towards the Father, the more he moves towards us. The more his motion, his frequency, his vibration vibrates us even more. Whereas their vibration, the heathen and the Gentile, they are going to struggle because they have to go through sorrow and they have to go through a double dose. Like, oh, what's that? A double dose. No, it's just old school. That song, when it was like double dutch, that song, like, double dutch. This is over there doing their thing, you know, jump roping. And so that's how I imagine this is double dutch, just double. They about to get this double. And hey, that's not me in opinion. That's what, they transliterated those words into their Bible, but they're going to get double. So this is why it's so funny. It's like, listen, I cannot listen to any Gentile, whenever they're talking, whenever they're trying to bring forth information, they vex my spirit. My spirit is vexed. It's like, ew, what is that? Ew. Now, I'm not vexed at them. I'm vexed at what they're trying. I'm vexed at the spirit that they're trying to bring forth, that they're trying to conjure up. That vexes me. So I can't even entertain them. You know, you prepping. What you prepping for? I thought you loved Jesus. I thought that you understood this book. Ain't no prepping. You ain't going to be able to run to the mountains. The rocks are going to, we already know the rocks going to fall. Ooh, put these rocks on me. Because I don't want that whooping no more. Whilst Goshen is going on with Israel, those that are at the wedding, those that had the oil, remember? To the oil, got the oil, went to the wedding feast. The wedding feast was in. The other ones that didn't have it had to go and buy some. They bought it. They ran back to it. But he shut the door. It's over. It's done. It's done. I mean, they don't even give us our understanding of our forefathers, the 12 tribes. They don't even give us that understanding. But we know that there's going to be 12 gates. And those 12 gates are going to be, you're going to have all the patriarchs there. And it's going to be like TSA. They're going to have to get through. And if you ain't cleaving to Israel to get through, you ain't getting through. I mean, you got to go through the 12 patriarchs. Who is Israel? And if you're not part of Israel, it's gonna alarm you. Woo, 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 Gentile. You'll be out them gates. You'll be out that kingdom. This is how the Spirit is taxing them. And they can't understand it. Why? Because they won't listen. Because they can't get right. They can't. So ain't no amount of praying for them, ain't no amount of begging and pleading the Father to forgive them. That ain't going down. That's not how this is happening, and we can see this today. We got all these events happening. We got so much fear in land that they don't even, that this fear is what is going to destroy them. So I want to read Jubilees 15:30 real quick, because see, this is why he's not going to let them destroy anything. We are in the war of the mind, the principality of the mind. Okay, this is where we are. These people are not going to be able to mentally pick up a stick, close a door. They're going to be struggling. It's going to be like they in a, you know, they are like Kensington Street in Philadelphia. This is what's going to happen. They're going to be struggling. It's going to be bad for them. They're already looking for any type of narcotic, but any type of stimulant or depressant to take them away, take them back. And we're looking for the Father to move us forward. And I wonder who's going to win that. And, you know, he said, hey, persevere and endure to the end. Okay? So he says in 30, for Ishmael – hold on. Let's go to 29. Let's start at 28. I digress. Let's go to 27. For all the angels of the presence and all the angels of sanctification have been so created from the day of their creation and before the angels of the presence and the angels of sanctification, he has sanctified Israel, that they should be with him and with his holy angels. And do thou command the children of Israel, and let them observe the sign of his covenant for their generations as an eternal ordinance, and they will not be rooted out of the land. For the command is ordained for a covenant. They should observe it forever among all the children of Israel. For Ishmael and his sons and his brothers and Esau, the Lord did not cause to approach him. And he chose them not because they are the children of Abraham, because he knew them, but he chose Israel to be his people. And he sanctified it and gathered it from amongst all the children of men. For there are many nations and many peoples, and all are his. And over all has he placed spirits in authority to lead them astray from him. But over Israel, he did not appoint any angel or spirit, for he alone is their ruler, and he will preserve them and require them at the hand of his angels and his spirits, and at the hand of all his powers, in order that he may preserve them and bless them, and that they may be his and he may be theirs from henceforth forever. All these spirits that are out here, and I'm about to read that too in Baruch. So all these spirits that are running around here, possessing men, destroying men's and women's minds, making them say they are they, not him or he or she, but they, them. You know, this is, you know, it's like the American, it was like the Negro fund back in the day. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. So their minds will be wasted because they are not going to be fortified with the oil of the Father. This is just the way it is. This is the beauty and the woe of the eschatology of the books, of the scriptures, of all of them. this is it. Because he's not going to allow them to do anything to his, Revelation 6:6. Yes. Revelation 6:6. He said, now watch this. This is why the Gentiles have nothing. They're done, son. They are just straight up done. It is just amazing. They're done. So it says, we'll go at 5. And when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. Then I looked and saw a black horse, and its rider held in his hand a pair of scales. And I heard what sounded like a voice. Now, before I go further, this black horse and these scales is justice. Black horse, scales. So, you know, all these aliens, black aliens, you know, Father, Christ, black horse, and its rider held in his hands a pair of scales, balance, justice, okay? And I heard what sounded like a voice from among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not, now watch this, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So the oil is those, you know, the 10 virgins. So they didn't get to harm. They could do everything that they wanted to do, but when this black horse comes, bringing balance and justice to their wicked ways, he's telling them, you can do anything. You listen, give me a quart of wheat, give me, and isn't that what they're talking about now with Ukraine? Wheat, it's all, you know, they diverted from Africa to Ukraine to help them people, those Ashkenaz, those Nazis, as Putin so eloquently put, to help them. So they took it from the Africans and gave it to the Ukrainians. So there, wheat for denarii and three parts of barley for denarii, barley. Isn't that what they use? Isn't that how they make their brew? Hops, barley. But he says, do not harm the oil. They can't bother us. That's what this is about. That's my point. We get to sit here and seek the Father with all our energy, with all our will. We get to seek the Father. We get to do that now unopposed. Unopposed. Because they are not to harm the oil and the wine. You know, this is all symbolism. And the oil has always been the light, the illuminated ones. You got to illuminate with oil. The wine, wouldn't that be wouldn't the wine then be also his people? Because the wine is what you are, you know, isn't the wine the blood of Christ? Doesn't that symbolize the blood of Christ? Yahweh. So he's saying, don't hurt the oil, which is my remnant, and the wine, which is my bloodline. So we get to, this is our favor. This is what we've been looking for. We get to do this. Now, there's going to be a lot of commotion that's going to go on, and there's going to be spirits that are going to try to invoke themselves onto us for, you know, with the, some things that we used to do, and it's going to be, they're going to be trying to attack us big time because of this. 12 woes that are to come upon the earth. And he answered and said unto me, into 12 parts is that time divided, and each one of them is reserved for that which is appointed for it. In the first part, there shall be the beginning of commotions, and in the second part, there shall be slayings of the great ones, and in the third part, the fall of many by death, and in the fourth part, the sending of the sword, and in the fifth part, famine and withholding of rain. And in the sixth part, earthquakes and terrors. In the eighth part, there will be wanting. And in the ninth part, I'm sorry, and in the eighth part, a multitude of specters and attacks of the Shadim. And in the ninth part, the fall of fire. And in the tenth part, rapine and much oppression. And in the 11th part, wickedness and unchastity. Now watch this. And in the 12th part, confusion from the mingling together of all those things aforesaid. For these parts of that time are reserved and shall be mingled one with another and minister one to another. That's where we are now. For some shall leave out some of their own and receive in its stead from others, and some complete their own and that of others, so that those may not understand who are upon the earth in those days, that this is the consummation of the times. This war of principalities is about to go down. That's what Jubilees is talking about. He put penalties over all the nations, all Esau and Ishmael. He put them over all their nations to lead them astray. But over Israel, he put himself. So here at the end, when there's going to be a mingling of confusion of the chitta, of the Shadim and all these woes that are coming, I mean, he's going to be leading our people to him. We're going to be seeking him, whilst the Gentiles will be led astray. They're going to be running around talking about the rapture. They're going to be talking about, you know, we got to love Jesus. You know, we got to pray. We got to do this. We got to do that. We're going to have to fight Putin. We can take Ukraine. We can keep Ukraine. This is them being led astray. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a woman, I'm a man. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a woman, I'm a man. What? That's confusion. It's madness. A great stupor. And this is why there's chaos right now. This is why we have to stay strong and understand that we got next. That the good news is that we got next. All the signs and all the information and the wisdom that brothers and sisters have been pontificating on, bringing forth, it's all resonating in the spirit world for us. We're winning. Now, we haven't won in the physical yet, but we're winning. We're winning this war. We just need to stay the course. You know, no weapon born against us shall prosper. So we ain't going to worry about no nuclear weapons. We ain't going to worry about these Gentiles and their prepping guns and their ammunition and that all that craziness. We don't have to. Those that Esau has been able to use to destroy, he's about to destroy himself with. We don't need to be part of that. That's another spirit that's going to come out. Everybody that's running around got their guns. So listen. I'm not saying that this is 100%, but this is just what I get. Everybody that's running around with putting their faith in a gun or a weapon to protect them is missing the point again. The weapon and the protection is the Most High. So we're not needing that. That's for Esau and Ishmael and the Gentile Negroes, the Gentile Israel, and the heathen. We are enlightened. We get to be moved out of the way of those things. We don't have to entertain those things. Every TV show and movie show is about killing, stealing, and destroying. Every one of them. This is all they got. This is why they cannot get right, because it is not in them to talk righteousness, to even imagine a righteous world. It's just not in them. Otherwise, we'd be in a righteous world today. They got all the scriptures. They got all the resources. We'd be living in the kingdom right now if the Gentiles and the heathens had a righteous bone in their body. This is just the facts of the matter. Matter of fact. But, you know, everybody has their traditions and their ways of, you know, my granny and my pop-pop and my mama, my daddy said that this is what it was. Well, that was a different time. So those, I dare say lies, but those misinterpretations were able to supersede the truth because Israel was blind for a time. And I know, you know, I can get long-winded, but I love this. I love this. My zeal for this is strong. I sit back and I wonder, you know, what does it feel like to even to be a Christian? You know, because the way I see it, if I'm going to be living for Christ, then I will be wanting to be in a righteous kingdom. Therefore, I will want the kingdom to come. Just like they want Christ to come to save them, I want Christ to come to change the system. You know, and I don't even know what that looks like. You know, I know the kingdom will be here. Would we need to have a house? Would we need to have cars? I don't see why we would if we're now changed into a whole nother righteous paradigm. Now we get to go and commune with the birds and the bees. We get to, sleep with the lions. We get to play with the hyenas. We get, you know, a righteous kingdom means righteous creation. So everything's out of order because the Gentiles and the heathen have not the ability to understand and comprehend righteousness. So they're out of order. The creation's out of order. So the black horse with the scales is going to come and put it back in order. And they're running around thinking, oh, Jesus, we just want you to come back. He ain't coming back. Save them. This rapture madness is a way of not being accountable. They have to be accountable. My ancestors want justice. That's what they want. That's what the Spirit has been telling me. They want justice. They don't want peace. Because you can't have peace without justice. Again, this is an order of things, so you got to want justice first. You can't say, I want peace and no justice. That's what we've been running around here doing. That's what King got us doing, or MLK got us doing. Well, you know, turn the other cheek. Be peaceful. No, that's not. But we had to do that. We had to endure that. We had to persevere through all that. So that the first generation, which a lot of us are, the first generation after the civil rights, after the civil rights era, we got the spirit, but it had to be nurtured, it had to be for a time. We all had to go through sorrows. We all had to understand what we were wanting at the time. During our youth, a lot of us, we wanted fundamental change. We wanted something different. We wanted to know righteousness. We were tired of watching, you know, we heard our parents and our uncles and our aunts talk about the times that they grew up, which was during the civil rights era, when they were sicking dogs on us, when they were killing us, when they were saying we weren't nothing, they were calling us names, they were redlining, they were keeping us down by the heel of their boots. And then They were also telling us about their parents who they had to deal with through the lynchings. And there's no repentance for that. That's why our people want justice. That's why our saints are underneath the altar crying for justice. Not peace, not forgiveness, but justice. That's why that black horse is coming with them scales, which means ultimately there's going to be some justice. That's what this is about, just is. That's what we want. That's what we're about to get. But we got to maintain through the skirmish. All these skirmishes, we got to maintain through them. This is all-out war at this point. We're about to walk into, we're about to breathe into the next phase of this T war that we've been in this entire time. Now you get the choice to be a general, a colonel. And I'm using Gentile ways or Gentile logic or terms. You know, you get to be a general, a colonel, or whatever you want to be. You could be a grunt. But you're going to be in this war regardless. On whatever side, the war will take place and you will be on one side or the other. Make sure that you maintain the right side. Because there's going to be a lot of landmines out here. There's going to be a lot of lies and deception out here. Attack of the Shadim is nothing to scoff at. We see these wicked ways that these people have done. We know that they have MK-Ultra. We know that they using spells on people. We know that they trying to go all in to get us off course. But we got to maintain through these skirmishes. Because this is the good news, that we can do it. It can be done. That's the good news. So that's all I wanted to really touch on tonight. I'm going to cut it short a little bit because, you know, I could go on another 30 minutes. But I think that those are the main points that I wanted to get in. Hopefully this was clear. You know, this Jubilees 15 and 30, I'm telling you that this is key to our salvation, understanding that he has our back. The apocalypse, the book of the apocalypse, the Baruch, I can just tell you that this is where we are, you know, even the apocalypse of Abraham, you know, the apocalypse of Elijah, Revelation, like everything is pointing to this mass confusion at the end. But again, Jacob will be saved out of it. That's the beauty, peace of mind that we have. That's the spirit. That's the praises that we've come to give. This is the collective spirit that we're in now. The signs in the sky is showing us. It's illuminating our way. It's enriching our oil. The Gentiles don't have it. We got it. Don't give it away. Love your brother. Love the Most High. Love your sister. Love the Most High. Love the Holy Spirit. Love Yahawashah. All praises to the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has given us peace of mind and a will to love one another and himself again and our nation again. All praise to the Most High. Shalom.